You're listening to a special edition of Bridge the Gap, the Senior Living Podcast, powered by supporting partners NRC Health, One Day, TIS Insurance, Morrison Living, and Argentum. Learn more about this podcast at btgvoice.com.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap. It's a special edition of Bridge the Gap here at the NIC conference. A lot of conversation going around about the coronavirus, and it's a very interesting conversation, a very needed conversation at this time, as many of our communities and operators and investors in the industries are a little bit scrambling to get ahead of this so that they're completely prepared. And so we reached out to none other than our friends and partners at TIS. We got John Sims on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Great to be here, guys.
So we're here at the energy of this conference. There have been a number of groups that have put some travel bans out there. It's not gone unnoticed, and we're continuing to watch this unfold day by day by day. And while we don't know exactly the how this is going to play out, we want to talk about preparedness.
Absolutely.
So, Josh, you want to help kind of drive this conversation?
Yeah. So, I think as you alluded to, Lucas, a lot of groups are not here, particularly operators. They're very concerned about their communities. The conversation has centered around, while they're not as concerned about themselves, because many of them, the workers, are healthy. But just the, all the unknowns about the transmission of this virus, how contagious it is, and it eventually hitting our elders, our residents, the ones that we care for, that have been entrusted to us to care for, and this hits them potentially really hard. So those that aren't here and those that are here are talking about it, so we thought we should be talking about it, which is why we're having this special edition. So TIS is a trusted partner helping communities know how to mitigate risk in a variety of areas and providing resources. Obviously, none of us, including John, are clinicians, but he is representing TIS and a great resource. His team is an excellent resource out there on the front lines helping the communities with training and education. So I think one of the things we wanted to talk about, John, is just education in general. And there's more than just education of our residents and the team members, but it is a great time to talk with our team members about education. So, what are some of the things and the resources that you're putting out around education?
No, absolutely, and certainly I want to start by thanking our clinical team, because I've spent a lot of time with them. They've done a ton of research. They've been the ones to drive, whether it be email blasts or phone calls to specific clients, communities, et cetera. They've done a wonderful job and certainly have utilized the tremendous resources of, CDC and the state associations, national associations. So don't want to lose track of what they're doing, which is, incredibly impactful and great information. Certainly we're trying to hone in on specific points, education, screening, reporting, communicating, being four of those. Educating with the residents, education to the team members, education to the families, which is hugely important, especially as you adopt new policies and procedures or, re-up some of your policies and procedures in this capacity. I think the more proactive you are with families, certainly the much easier it's going to be to do things like, potentially having to close a building to third parties. Screening residents, absolutely. You need to screen every resident. That's a huge piece of what we've been talking about. If for whatever reason, state were to come in for a reinspection or something like that, they're going to be hyper aware and hyper focused on anything from washing hands to a resident that seems to have elevated, a level of, exponential coughing or something along those lines. Reporting anything you see, any resident that progresses in a way that you don't think is, the right way, obviously, you want to report that immediately. So those are kind of the pillars. And then communication. I mean, communication daily, because this is not, you keep waking up thinking they're going to have a vaccine, this is going to go away. We're dealing with a population that's more impacted by this. And the more you communicate with your team from top to bottom, so from corporate office to the communities, to the families, to the residents, that's what we've been stressing is, policies and procedures need to be in place, but that communication, that evaluation, especially with the boots on the ground team members, is hugely important.
So you touch on a variety of things. We could talk all day about this topic, but one in particular thing, all of our operators out there that have ever closed down a building as far as quarantining a building and closing off to third parties coming in, non-critical healthcare workers coming in, we know how difficult that is on everybody, the team members, the residents, the family members. I think to that point, the communication and education of all those groups really goes hand in hand, because I think we take for granted sometimes, those of us that are in the industry, that are in communities, sometimes we don't communicate great with each other, but oftentimes we don't really educate and communicate to those family members that have entrusted their loved ones to us. So they don't really understand sometimes even what we're doing, but in particular why we're doing it. So educating them around that. I think you made another really interesting point that as regulators are coming in, even if they're coming in to investigate something non-related, you know, in most states, you're judged not only by the regulations, but by your own policies and procedures. And sometimes it's opportunities like this that we have to reevaluate those policies and procedures, to audit, to make sure that we are using best infection controls policies and procedures and those standards. But, you know, I have to imagine, John, I don't know if you guys are hearing anything, but we've heard just rumbles, and you never know what exactly is gossip or what is just truth to it. But that CDC and the federal government and state governments are going to start probably implementing some requirements for communities from a regulatory standpoint, putting some things in place, even from an emergency standpoint, if it gets to that point, that may require an overhaul of new policies and procedures. And we know how critical it is to take your time and understand how to craft those policies correctly.
No, absolutely. And I mean, policies and procedures are the baseline for what we do. In your communities, that's the, you know, core of kind of how you set that, again, baseline for resident care, which is really what everybody does. So 100%, you know, re-educating is hugely important, making sure those policies and procedures are, you know, up to where they should be. Because the federal government, to your point, if they're going to shut down, you know, I mean, routine surveys for some length of time. I mean, they're doing it because they are honing in on this, and it's a tremendous issue, and it's top of the line. So they'll, in my opinion, absolutely, there will be some trickle down and probably some additional requirements in the future. But it's a great opportunity for you to evaluate, I mean, at the bottom line, all of your residents, all of your policies and procedures, all of your team members. And there's certain things during this period of time, like, you know, simple things, washing hands. Again, if a resident's, you know, progressing in a way where you think, you know, this needs to be reported to your health department, you're much better off to be proactive and report that. And to the initial point, we always talk about, you know, setting expectations, totally outside of what we're talking about today. But when a resident comes in your building, absolutely, you want to set the expectations of what you're trying to provide, your care model, your care plan, et cetera. And with this, you absolutely want to communicate with the families and be proactive with what you're doing to prevent any, you know, to mitigate any potential situation where, let's say, one resident was, you know, impacted with coronavirus and all of a sudden 27 are. As a family member, that's the last thing you want. So I think to be proactive on that front, set those, in this case, it's not expectations, but just communicate and explain to them what you're doing to be proactive.
Yeah, I think that's huge. I know, Lucas, kind of switching gears in your day job and renovating communities, working in this population, we've even talked, even at the renovating level, how critical it is at communication, educating not only the residents and team, but those family members on what you're doing in the community and so forth. This is another example of that. You know, it is a little bit scary because this does have the ability to very negatively impact our communities. So a lot of people are sharing, collaborating great information, which is something great about our industry, that the sharing of information, there's great resources out there like your broker, your carriers, like John with TIS, the education and tools that they provide, even policy making help for communities that may not have great internal resources for that. But I think, you know, as we look at this, this is going to have a lot bigger impact potentially than on just the residents and the communities themselves. You know, we were even talking offline, Lucas, about A lot of communities we've already heard are completely, even if they're not impacted yet, just trying to go in protective mode, and they've closed off really unnecessary visitors, as they call it, or non-critical healthcare workers from entering the community. And even projects like potentially renovations and things like that might be potentially negative impacts on the communities right now.
It could be, you know, on a positive level. I think that the senior living community is probably more poised to be able to tackle this thing, because every single year in the senior living communities have battled the flu season, which is pretty prolific and tends to get a little bit of news, but nothing nearly like the coronavirus, clearly because there's a lot of unknowns here and we're not quite sure how the impact of this is, what it's going to be. But I am optimistic that our communities and the their policies and procedures and the staff and the training that's gone on are going to be able to implement. And I would love to see a way that that this type of level of collaboration between operators and clinicians is something that our general population may even be able to glean from.
Oh, I 100% agree. And this is when we have an opportunity to shine as an industry. To your point, Lucas, I know, and I've shared these stories with you all as an operator and administrator. I remember early on in the first community I ever opened, there was an outbreak of norovirus. You know, sometimes it's called the cruise ship virus. And that was not fun, but I remember multiple hospitalizations, not only at our community, but in the county that I was in, multiple deaths just within a few weeks amount of time. Not one story about it, nothing talked about, and those were even reportable incidences. There was actually much more death around that in a short amount of time than what we've experienced even nationally with this virus so far. And I think to your point, the industry will rise to the challenge. We will have some love stories that are produced out of this, as we call, just because of the commitment of our team to rally together to do this. And, you know, John, as we were looking at some of the resources and information that your team is putting out, a lot of it seems like, as far as infection control, you know, it kind of mimics that of what we see with infection control for the flu.
No, absolutely. And I think going back to one of the points, we talked about education, and educating your team members and residents and families. Screening is so hugely important. You know, when you're bringing third parties into these communities, regardless of, you know, what capacity they're working in, you need to be proactive in screening each and every, you know, outsider that's coming into the community, whether it be family member or, you know, third party home care provider, hospice, whatever it might be. In this scenario, your worst case is that somebody from the outside comes in and infects one of your residents, and that's something that we're also preaching as kind of one of those core pillars, is that screening is, I mean, if you have to tell somebody, hey, you can't come in this community, you absolutely need to do that to mitigate what could be a worst case scenario. To the second point, there's great resources out there with CDC and MDS and all our associations, both state and national, that are putting out great info. In each and every, you know, email blast or document that we produced, we've utilized many links to those specific websites where there's posters. I mean, there's just a laundry list of things that you can be doing to get out in front of this. And then here again, coming back to, you know, you take that, you communicate proactively with the families, tell them what you're doing to mitigate this exposure. And it is great to see an industry that's not always working 100% in collaboration to really be working in collaboration, and all these different associations working together to put out. I mean, I've seen, you know, certain associations reference something from another, or another, you know, association that maybe hones in on a different piece of the continuum. And you do see universally, everybody's aware this is a problem. And it has kind of brought the industry together to work together to, you know, do the best we can to mitigate this.
Love it. Well, great information from our partners at TIS. Appreciate, John, you taking time away from a busy conference schedule to pop in, say hello, and the resources your team has sent to us. We can provide those links as well that you guys have sent us on this special edition of Bridge the Gap, right?
You got it. You got it. We'll make sure we put those in the show notes. And we even, our other partner, Argentum, they've got stuff on their website. We'll make sure that we link to that. And we're rooting for this industry to be prepared and happy to be somewhat of a resource for everybody. If anybody has any questions, just, shoot us an email, check out our links. And thanks for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.
Join the BTG podcast team at Argentum May 18th through the 20th and use our promo code BTGSLEC for $100 off a full conference pass. See you in Tampa. Visit btgvoice.com for more details.